Water restrictions are in place in parts of the country. In others, the possibility is never far away. In response, many gardeners have changed their watering habits, replacing outdated sprinklers with drip irrigation and soaker hoses. Others have gone much further and are pursuing approaches that ask less of the gardener and more of the garden. NPR's Ketzel Levine talked with two gardeners who are experimenting in two very different climates.
The morning is soft, still, and dizzyingly beautiful at Toby Hemingway's mountaintop home, a small cottage with views across southern Oregon's Umpqua River Valley. Standing in his garden, you can see a red-tailed hawk riding the wind and hear the mellifluous mutterings of a pot-bellied pig.
This is Archie. He's my rototiller.
Everything is put to work here, whether it's the pig or the rainfall. Toby Hemingway loves to listen to it trickle down his drain. The drain leads to a cistern where the rainwater is collected. It provides the Hemingways with silky clean water for most of the year. The rainwater system is the beginning of a design that emphasizes the connectedness of everything here. The house, the garden, even the angles of the sun. This approach has a name, permaculture, a contraction of permanent and culture. And as Toby Hemingway describes, its principles are cribbed directly from nature herself.
A tree in nature is doing all sorts of things. It's, you know, it's harvesting rainwater. It's dropping its leaves onto the soil to make fertility. The roots are breaking up the soil. It's producing shade, it's producing fruit, it's producing habitat, it's got insects living in the bark, on and on and on. It's doing a million things. And so when we design something in permaculture, we try to think of all the functions that it can possibly serve.
This design for living was introduced some 30 years ago and was then embraced by a rural fringe. Today, even if all you do is compost, you are knee-deep in a permacultural approach. At the heart of it is water conservation. Toby Hemingway says the banner cry is this: keep the water where it does the most good, in the soil.
Most landscapers, most engineers, most people who deal with water think of water as something to be gotten rid of. You know, you want to catch it in your roof and put it into the sewer system. You want to get rid of it quickly. Whereas, you know, the way that nature looks at it is it's a really precious resource. It's one of the Earth's most valuable minerals in a lot of ways. So if you think of it in terms of something that you can use and that you want to keep, that's the point of view that gets you thinking about holding water on the land.
In his book, Gaia's Garden, A Guide to Home-Scale Permaculture, Hemingway talks about the five ways he collects and conserves water in his soil.
The first one is I've got lots of organic matter in the soil. The second one is I'm mulching everywhere. I'm covering up the soil so that it's not bare, and that stops evaporation.
The third way is that he plants densely so that plant leaves overlap and shade the soil.
The fourth one is that I select plants that are not necessarily drought tolerant, but they're right planted in the right place, depending on how much water you can get to it. And then the fifth thing is that I've, in many places, contoured the soil so that it will either hold water or it'll move water from where it falls, say off of a downspout, to somewhere where I want it.
Arguably, it's a whole lot easier to keep water where you want it when you've got some to start with. Toby Hemingway can count on some 35 inches of rain a year. A good many gardeners work with a lot less. Mary Zemak, for instance. She's lucky if 15 inches fall on her Los Alamos, New Mexico garden.
That's a peach. These are buffalo currants. These are pears, plums, black currants. It doesn't look like a desert, does it? Look at all the green. And I've watered twice this year. Once the end of March, once the beginning of May.
Mary Zemak's high desert garden has become, by word of mouth, a mecca for both curious and incredulous desert gardeners. She doesn't charge admission, but she does have an agenda.
If you throw enough money and water at any landscape, you can grow about anything you want. But that's not my challenge. My challenge is to grow as many things as I can using as few resources as possible. And that's a whole different way of looking at gardening.
A course in permaculture changed the way Mary Zemack looked at gardening. She then transformed her own high-maintenance garden into a food and flower machine. The land was sculpted to better direct water. The soil was beefed up with compost and peat moss to better hold water. Plants were chosen and combined carefully, planted densely, and mulched into oblivion. As a result, even now, with New Mexico in one of the worst droughts of the last century, Mary Zemack can leave her garden untended for weeks at a time and come back to an oasis.
If you think of what happens out in the woods, nobody's out there watering or weeding or plowing or pruning or fertilizing, and yet it's beautiful and it maintains itself even through many months of drought. So can we be that smart in our own gardens? Well, almost.
Almost if you're ready to start from scratch. No way if your idea of gardening is a few shrubs and a chunk of lawn. But for those of us in between who love growing plants yet use up enormous resources keeping things alive, change isn't really all that hard. Oregon permaculturist Toby Hemingway says the key is acknowledging that everything connects.
And once you make that shift into thinking about the relationships among things, you suddenly think of, oh, I can put a plant to attract pollinators with that fruit tree. I can put a medicinal plant right outside my back door where I will use it. So just think about the things that you love to grow and what you want closest to you, and put those right outside your back door.
With summer's heat banging on the front door, you might want to hold off planting anything just now. And as you scramble to keep up with your unquenchably thirsty landscape, consider having the garden do more of the work. Further instructions at Talking Plants, the address npr.org. For NPR News, I'm Ketzel Levine.